praise you, Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you that we can come together this morning. Thank you that we can come to your word. We ask you, Lord, that we just may not just read, Lord, and see words there, but you give us through it understanding, revelation, Lord, strength, and everything that you can give to us through us. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for it. We ask you, Lord, that our heart may be open and receiving, to be able to hear, to be able to put, Lord, this to work in our life, Lord, and see your power manifested in us. We praise you and thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, for what you're going to do, Lord, through your word, and the way you're going to minister to each person is here, Lord, today. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Really, our relationship with God is connected to many other things in our walk. It's related to the way our attitude is, related to the way we know the word, the way the word ministers to us, the way we expect the word to work, and Lord, our faith. They all work, all these things work together. They are really part of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in us. And we need to get to the place in which our connection with Him is not just a mental exercise. It's not just something that we believe, in a superficial way. But it's something that has an impact in the way we act moment by moment, in the way we reconnect to the Word moment by moment, so that the Word actually is not just something that we have memorized or remember. It's something that rules our life, that essentially determine the way we think, the way we see things, the way we perceive things, and what we do, and what we actually experience. Okay? It's not just a theory. It's part of the reality of our existence. Okay? And one of the things that generally, every believer try to do and connect with God is receiving what the promise of God are. Okay? This is something that no matter what level of experience or understanding you have, generally that is important component that we all go through, because the promises of God were given to us for a purpose, to help us, to minister to us, to provide for what we need, that we ourselves sometimes we cannot do it. Okay. And the idea is that, the success that we have in terms of receiving God's promises or not receiving them is an important indicator of our relationship with God. Often, we are so focused on the needs that we have, that the need that we have becomes more important than our relationship with God. So that, we are there trying to see how to get God to actually do what He promised He wants us to do. And that's really the wrong attitude. That's the wrong approach to it. That's the way, actually, that we make our needs more important than our relationship with God. And that's why often it doesn't work. Okay? because we don't get things from God because we need them. We get things from God because we are connected with them. It doesn't go according to need, it goes according to relationship. And often people do not understand that. And so the needs becomes an idol they go after and actually becomes an hindrance for them to receive it. When instead, if we really make that connection with God and we allow God to actually minister to us, then we are going to see the results that we expect. Are you following what I'm saying? See, the promise, for example, 2 Corinthians 10:1-20 says very clearly, the promise of God, in him a yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Okay, that doesn't say that they are always yes in a man. They are yes in a man in him. See, the key condition for the scripture, for the promise to be fulfilled, is that we are in him. Okay. And, you know, sometimes people don't even understand what being in him means. And so when you don't understand that basic principle, you see, the basic reality that we should have very clear in our mind because it's the base of our relationship. See, in him means that we are in relationship with him, in the proper relationship with him, in, in the proper connection with him. Now, you know, God is faithful. If he said he wants to do something, it means he wants to do something and we can count on it. I don't care what people say, you know, that, you know, sometimes God says yes when we pray, sometimes says no, sometimes it may be. That's faulty theology. That's a lie, and it is made up. That is nothing else. The circumstantial theology. The result of our failure to actually receive, so we adjust our theology according to our experience. That's not God faithful. That is not God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness means if he said yes, he says yes. If we meet the conditions. And so the critical element in all that is for us to be in him. For us to have a true relationship with him. Not a religious activity that we go through thinking that that is going to be a relationship. He's not going through the motions. He's actually having that connection and that experience that is real, just as real as any other relationship that we can have down here. Probably better, probably stronger. It should be stronger, to say the truth. Okay. The fact that the word says that God is faithful means that God, you know, if he said something, we can count on it. There are many scriptures backing up that point, you know, and it's not a question now I'm trying to pull them all out, but, you know, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. As he said, I shall not do it, shall not, you know, spoken and not make it true. See, the idea is that when he said something, he mean it and doesn't change. Okay, so if we don't get it, there is a problem not with them but with us. And so we had to adjust our position to be able to get to the place in which we receive. If we start blaming him that we don't get what we get, really we are doing completely the wrong, you know, based on the wrong value, the wrong principle, the wrong idea. So we need to readjust our position to be able to really be in him and really see the things that actually are separating us from him. Okay. Don't blame God. Realign your understanding. Because God doesn't change, we had to change. Okay. Now, you know, that is such an important thing because sometimes it's difficult to do. Because sometimes we are stuck in a place and we don't want to change for one reason or another. Okay. And so the result of that is that sometimes it's a big difference. Maybe, you know, meaning succeeding or failing, life and even death. And we can see that in the Bible often, and we can see that in actual life. Okay. So, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 19, something that I want to bring up here. And by this we know that we are in the truth. I mean, to be in the truth or be in Christ is the same thing because he is the truth, the way and the life. Okay, so by this we know. That means, you know, that we can have knowledge or understanding of the situation, of that we are in that position, in the truth or in Christ. Okay, and shall assure our heart before him. So, that we're going to move a bit into a direction that it can be misinterpreted. And this scripture offers, you know, there is discussion on those, the interpretation of these things. And this is one of those scriptures that if you can take in isolation, you can get off completely on a tangent. And this is why I bring it up. Okay. There are different way of translate or interpreting it. There is only one way that is the truth. Because the different ways say completely opposite things. And God doesn't speak on two sides of the mouth with two different meanings. Okay, so we are going to see it, take a bit of time, and I'm not going to do all the analysis because we'll have to pull up lots of things. But when you have a scripture, they can be interpreted in different ways. You don't start doing an analysis of the scripture itself. Because that's the way to get stuck and to get into your own thinking and your own analysis. What you do is you go to the whole other scriptures in the Bible and see what they actually support. What they are actually saying that is contradicting one of the two answers. That's the only way. Truth, spiritual support the spiritual, not mind analysis support the solution. Okay? So here it says, okay, we assure our heart before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. We can agree on that, but really, what does it mean? You have to put it together with the word, the words that were coming before and the words that are coming after. Okay, so let me continue here. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandment and do those things that are pleasing to him. Okay, now if you look at this, the two interpretations are, okay, number one, if our heart condemns us, God is greater, so he's not going to condemn us. Why should be saying that? God is greater. He understands. I understand that one can take some scripture, for example, from Psalm 103, and says, you know, God doesn't judge according to our sinful or iniquities. You know, he understands us much better than we can understand ourselves. Okay? Completely good. That part is good. But doesn't mean that if he condemns ourselves, God is not going to condemn us. Okay? It's nothing to do. God doesn't work the way we think. He's not going to listen to what we think and what we believe and determines what he determines. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he's going to judge us according to righteous judgment, not according to our own ideas or our own understanding. Okay? He is not influenced by our ignorance because he knows better. Okay? So it's not true that he's going to be just, all the time, being more lenient than we are ourselves or more difficult than we are ourselves. He is just. He is righteous. His judgment is a righteous judgment. It doesn't depend on our belief and our assurance that we have in ourselves. Lots of people have assurance because they have a doctrine that according to which they believe, and actually the doctrine is not true, and there is no basis for their assurance, so they're completely fooling themselves. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So you don't go by our assurance. You know, our conscience, and I wanted to preach on that, and I'm going to do it in the future sometime, but our conscience is not something that we can fully, completely trust. Because our conscience can be seared. Our conscience can be influenced by wrong doctrines. Our conscience can be seared because we fool ourselves because we want to believe certain things. And so we don't see any reason why we should be wrong. Because we believe with our heart those things that are actually wrong. Our heart is not completely dependable. But we can depend on God. And so the thing that we have to do is depend on him rather than our own feelings about even our own conscience. You know, Paul says, I do not judge myself. And that goes into the area of that I wanted to preach on, but I will sometime. You know, the idea you cannot, based on your feeling, to determine the condition that you are with God. Because your feelings are unreliable. They, when they are up, and the next day are down because you are going to, you woke up in the wrong side of the bed. Okay? So, and that happens to everybody. It happens to everybody that things don't go the way you want them. And so you're starting to feel, a bit ticked off. Okay, so there is nothing wrong. You have to see the way you respond to that and what you make of it. And you don't let those things control your life, but you have the ability to choose what you believe and to depend on what the Word of God says. Okay? Are you still with me? Okay. So, says, if, our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Yeah, that's, but that it doesn't necessarily mean that we are in agreement with him. It goes on. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandment and those things that are pleasing in his sight. Oh, wait a minute. Here he's adding something new completely to the picture. He says, you know, that when we are confident and at the same time we get what the Lord said we should be getting, then we know that He is in agreement with us. That's the time when we are actually finding out, which is really the same thing as it says in 2 Corinthians 1:20. Okay? When we are in Him, He's answered and yea and amen. It doesn't depend on how we feel. It depends on the fact that we are in Him. So the basic, like the important point, the critical element there is actually to be in Him, to be connected with Him, to be trusting not in ourselves. Doesn't say trust in yourself and everything is going to be okay. That's what the world says. Proverbs 5 says instead, trust in the Lord with all your understanding, you know, with everything you got. You know, depend on Him, and He will guide you, and He will direct you, and He will, do all the other things that He's going to do. So you see, is your relationship, your trust in Him, not going by the feelings, but going by your connection with Him. The fact that you know Him, that you trust Him, that you are connected with Him, that you are really dependent on Him. And you know, because you trust Him, everything that He says is fine. And if it doesn't go the way we think that it should go, we go and get direction from Him and see, you know, what do I have to change here? So you adjust our position so that He is pleased. So there is not a question of, He is just nicer than we are and He's good. No, the question is, you know, when we are in alignment with Him, we are in Him, we get the result, period. I mean, I don't see Jesus doing His work and having a hit and miss type of an answer or solution to His problem. You know, He would get result all the time. Now, today, theology says different things, but I don't care what theology says. I go with what He said. Okay, He's trustworthy, He's worthy, you know, He's faithful, and He's going to keep His promises when you are lined up. So the bottom line is not a question of having different interpretations or to fit your poor theology, but it's a question of actually connecting with Him, trusting in Him, and allowing Him to direct you in the way that you're going to get the answer that He promised in the first place. Because you're not trying to, do something that He doesn't want to do. That's a starting point. You go base yourself on one of God's promises. So if He's God promised God, that means, if He promised something, He meant it. It's not that He says, well, maybe, today if I wake up on the right side of the bed, I'm going to do it for you. Otherwise, tough. That's not what He's saying. That's not what He's saying to anybody. He's just there waiting for you to be aligned. And when you're aligned, you don't have to do anything. He does it. But your part is alignment. Your part is start thinking about, is going, synchronizing yourself with Him. Okay? So that one makes a difference. That's what, this is, in that case, yes, we have confidence, but we just don't have confidence. We have results. Okay? This is, not the only place that is saying there. And this is why, one can count on that. It's the same thing everywhere where it says, no matter New Testament, Old Testament, always work the same. Principles, God's principles do not change. It's our understanding of the principle that changes. We should be much better off today, because Jesus came and explained lots of things, and we had the Holy Spirit working in us that before wasn't in the people the way we have it dwelling in us. We dwell in the Word. Now, before they were dwelling the Word, and so they would get stuff, but the point is, they didn't have the indwelling Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit hitting them once in a while, and only from some special people. Any born of God person has the Holy Spirit inside them. That means has the Spirit of God in him to bring us understanding, bring them understanding and revelation of what is theirs, what was given to them, what to expect, what to do, how to change, how to respond to what God wants to do with their life. Okay? So, you know, we should be to a great advantage. Before, they didn't have all the New Testament. They are just little story talking about symbols and talking about, you know, things like, you know, shades and types, but they didn't have the real thing. Now we actually see black and white the truth revealed to us. So we don't go by stories anymore. We go by the truth. Jesus said, you know, you obey my commandment, dwell in my word dwell in you, you shall know what? The truth. Now, you know, and that's really the same thing about, you know, we connect with him because he is the truth, he is the manifestation of the truth. He said, you know, whatever we ask him, we receive whatever. What does it mean? What whatever doesn't mean? Whatever means whatever. Okay? And here it says, whatever we ask, we receive from him. I mean, evidently, you can take the scripture and say, I can ask anything I want. No, he's talking about asking something that he promised. Okay, so whatever the promise that we ask, and we are in alignment with him, whatever we ask, we receive him. Why? Because he, you know, we keep his commandment and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. So it's not just on that item, it's in general, that's the way we are operating. We are in the right standing with him. We are not going in one direction and at the same time wanting something else on the other things that are not congruent together. See, God sees all the idiosyncrasy, all the different conflicting things that are going on within ourselves, and we need to resolve them, to be synchronized with them. Okay? And basically, you know, is continuing there, okay, verse 23. You know, and this is the commandment that we should believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ, his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave the commandment. Okay, so it goes on, and this is, if you want, the closing scripture that reinforces everything I'm saying. It says, verse 24, now he who keeps his commandment abides in him. So that's pretty straightforward, okay? To abide in him, you had to do his commandments. You had to line up yourself in what you do, in the decision you make, in the understanding that you have, in the way you operate with what he says you should be doing. Okay, when you do that, okay, you abide in him, and he, the person in him, in Jesus, okay? And by this we know that you abide in us, that the Spirit of that he has given us, by the Spirit that he has given us. So you see, it's the Holy Spirit working in us, producing the changes, producing the direction, giving us understanding, giving us the proper you know, understanding that we need to be able to make the changes when the changes are needed. You see, he doesn't, you know, he just provides us the information that we need so that we can be corrected and we can align ourselves up and we can actually get what he wants to give us in the first place. It's not that he doesn't want to give it to us, that we have to be, you know, in the condition to receive it. Okay, that's critical. And that has to do just with the relationship we have with him. You know, and really, you know, when we're therefore talking about walking in the Spirit, that's what we are talking about. If you are walking in the Spirit, then you are in him. If you are not walking in the Spirit, you are not in him. You are walking in the flesh. And walking in the flesh is not compatible with walking in the Spirit. The two things are one opposite to the other. You see, so, you know, we have to understand the position that we have in ourselves, okay, to be able to see if you are in Christ or in the flesh. When we are in Christ, then yea and amen are the answer to all God's promises. I mean, that makes it not very complicated to understand if we really understand what he's talking about, you understand the terms of those verses. Are you still with me? So we have to understand the two states that we can have. Okay? And we have to choose where we are going to be. Okay? That means, you know, we have to have the ability in our mind to figure out which is which, because God cannot ask us to do something that we cannot choose, that we cannot understand. Okay? The thing is, what we understand is only what our heart is open to understand. And that's what the problem is. Because when our heart got set in a certain place, it wants to stay there. Okay? And so we had to adjust the position of our heart to be able to hear, because it's our heart that give us ears to hear and eyes to see, to be able to see things. That's how we get actually hear the Holy Spirit, hear the word of God ministering to the, you know, we dwell in the word dwells in us, and the word brings revelation as we are open to it, because the Holy Spirit is there revealing it to us. That's the one that wrote it down in the first place. Okay? And that's why Jesus said, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He comes to me, you know, to the Father, except no one comes to me except through me. You know, to the Father except through me. Okay? That's the way, the truth, the life, everything that, you know, we need is, you know, is everything is in the Word, and it's not just a question of saying Jesus, Jesus. It's a question of, you know, it's not magic words. It's really understanding what he said and receiving it and applying it and wanting to do that. Okay? It's not, you know, and this is why we need more than symbols. We need more than you know, words. We need understanding. We need revelation. This is why Paul was praying for the Ephesians, that they may receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that they can see what is given to them. See, that's what makes the difference. That's what we can expect, understanding what we can expect, understanding how to apply to ourselves. And it's just not mystical. It's just logical. It's just simple, proper understanding of truth. The power of truth is in the Word. See, truth has power because it's reality. It's not something that you make up. It's not something that you figure out. This is the way God made things. That's why it's truth. It doesn't change. The way God is, his laws, his principle, everything stayed the same from the very beginning before he even created any physical thing. He just established everything, and he's not going to change, and he's never going to change. Okay. Now, the way man expressed it, evidently, is going to change. You know, if you read the law in the Old Testament, you're not going to get very far, because if the law was working, then Jesus didn't have to come. So he had to come to correct the way things were expressed before. They were expressed in a physical way, through symbol to physical things. All the law was expressed through do that, don't do the other things, and couldn't deal with spiritual things because it wasn't even talking about spiritual stuff. It was talking about only physical manifestations of things. And that was the whole thing. The whole law in the Old Testament was expressed in that way. It could not save anybody, because when dealing with the spiritual issue, was dealing with the superficial things that could not even touch the spiritual dimension, although it was a reflection of it. That's why Jesus has to come and open our eyes, not only to us, okay, but to everybody. I mean, through you know, especially afterwards, you know, even when he left, there was lots of confusion yet. Look at the beginning of the church. There were lots of time they had to come together to decide about what was the truth and what wasn't the truth. I mean, Peter didn't want to go to Cornelius' house. Supernaturally, God to intervene, to shake him up, to tell him, you know, go there. I mean, that was breaking. No, he said, well, no way, I cannot touch that stuff. Those are unclean. I mean, that shows that the understanding or the application of what the law was saying wasn't completely right, was it? Same thing about what Jesus was doing. He was accused of being blasphemer and everything else, or, you know, doing all the wrong thing and breaking the law, when instead they were breaking the law, because they didn't understand what they were talking about. It says very clearly that this was without sin, but they were in sin. Big difference. But, you know, we can be getting that kind of mentality when we read the Bible and the Old Testament, or even the New Testament, and get religious and start to apply things literally, when Jesus said very clearly, and Paul said very clearly too, you know, that the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. If you don't get beyond the letter, if you don't get beyond the physical, and you get into the spiritual dimension, and you start talking about the truth instead of symbols and types and things, you're going to get off. And that's the problem with religion. That is just nothing else than expression, physical expression of things, and you cannot judge spirituality from the physical expression, because that's just physical, and you don't know what's going on beyond that. Are you still with me? So it's the truth that set us free. And that's what we had to get to. Okay, beyond all these images, or beyond this, or all these other things. Okay. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We had to be seekers of the truth. That means we had to break through all the physical layers that I'm hindering us from being able to see the truth beyond, you know, because of the physical representation. And Jesus came so that we can have that, because he gave us the Holy Spirit, the interpreter, the one that gives us revelation. The revelation of what? Symbols? No, give us revelation of the truth. Makes us understand the word. Make us the word. You see, that's what happened to Jesus. Jesus became, you know, man. Okay, took the form of a sinful man, only the form, nothing else. And so he trained, he developed the understanding through the word. When he came as a baby, he was a baby. He didn't know, you know, he had to go back and blah, blah. That's all he could do. He didn't have any understanding of God. He had relinquished those abilities. Paul says it very clearly in Philippians. No, yeah, Philippians. You know, so he just let them go so that he could grow like we grow. So he was our example. We don't start at the same place, but if you're born again, then we start similarly. So that we could grow. Grow through what? The Word. How the Word works. The Word in you works, brings you the truth, as the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, and you start working on that and allowing that truth to work and change the way you see and interpret and understand reality. Okay? And that's what happens. When the truth set us free, then we start to be free from all this other nonsense, okay, that are there. This is what happened, why we can say, you know, what says in Romans 1:8-1, you know, that there is no condemnation on those who are in Christ Jesus. Not because they went through a certain prayer. Saying a certain prayer doesn't put you in Christ Jesus. It's a number of things that need to be taking place that you have to receive within yourself, accept, and allow to change the way you see things. But when you see the truth, that's the key. Okay, there is no condemnation who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because they do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, they start doing things in alignment with what the Spirit of God says, with the Word says. See, the Word brings the truth. The truth tells you what to do, and you do the truth, and the truth automatically sets you free because the bondage isn't there anymore. All the implication, all the impact, all the result of being in the lie are going to be removed from you because they have no power anymore. The power of the truth is the one that sets you free. Amen. See, but that means that you consciously know what the truth is. It's not just the question of a vague idea or vague things, or, you know, today you wake up and you say, okay, now we're going to do this today. No. You know, Jesus was meeting people all the time, praying for them, wasn't there, wondering, is will of God for me to heal this person or not? Or maybe, you know, come tomorrow, because today, I don't know, we had to pray about that. Never happened ever in any place, any time. I mean, according to your faith be done unto you. And his response was all the same, all the time, 100% of the time that way, and exactly that was taking place. And he was not there wondering, you know, do I have to really pray for this person? Why? Because he knew the truth. Because God's intention, when we know God's intention, which is to save everybody, it doesn't take much to know if you're talking to somebody and you want to bring them to the Lord, you know, God is going to be behind you to help you and to give us the information, give them the information that they need to take some steps. So you're not there wondering, well, should I? Maybe I should, you know, this guy is too much of a sinner. We never see Jesus having that kind of a problem. The guy he had problem with were the religious people. Only with them. I mean, that's the only people that I saw Jesus being really tough and difficult, is because they were tough and difficult and their heart was blocked and hardened. It's nothing to do with, the people that were in carnal sin. He had compassion for them. That should help us to understand God's perception, because this is they say, you saw me, you saw the Father. Anyway, all right. So the thing is, you know, we walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. That means, you know, we should know what is walking according to the Spirit and walking according to the flesh. If we don't know, we cannot do it. And God cannot, you know, reward or not, because we do, you know, we just do it by chance, by you know, fluke. That doesn't work that way. Okay? So, but it says, for the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, there is no power anymore to bind us, to keep us limited, because we are looking at the wrong thing, because we are in the truth now. And it's the truth that empowered us to get results. The only result that we get is in the truth. So we, unless we look for the truth, okay. I'm going to read the following verse here. You know, for the law could not do what was weak through the flesh. God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, and he condemned sin in the flesh. So you see, he showed us that we can get free from the law of sin and death. I mean, you know, the law of sin and death was limited because of the flesh. What does it mean? Because the law of sin before was limited because it looked at things in the physical. The flesh is nothing else than what we get looking at physical things and dealing with physical learning with our senses. Depends on our senses, and our senses are just going to produce flesh in us no matter how religious it looks. So that's the result of that. We instead, okay, and you know, even if Jesus came in likeness of sinful flesh, he was not operating that way. He was not explaining things that way. He was not dealing with the things according to the flesh. He was dealing with the, you know, revealing the spiritual dimension, the truth beyond those things, so that we can discern and not be caught up by the physical appearances. God doesn't work by appearances. God works by the truth. Okay. And he can look through our heart to know where the position is, what really is our intention, our desire, our motivation, our judgment. That's why his judgment, the word says, was a righteous judgment. And when we get into the truth, that's exactly what we are going to get. We are going to have righteous judgment about things. That's the only way to be in right standing with God. You cannot be in right standing with God if you don't have right judgment over things. Because, you know, your judgment and God's judgment are going to be in opposition. One is based on the flesh, the other one is based on the Spirit. All right. You know, continuing there, verse 4 says, you know, for the righteous judgment, the requirement of the law, you know, may be fulfilled in us who do not walk, again, you know, according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So you see, the righteous judgment, the righteous requirements take place only when we start seeing things in the truth. And automatically, all these things are resolved. We are not anymore bound by the old law, the sinful law, and the Old Testament, but we are moving into the dimension of the New Testament teaching of Jesus, in which enabled us to walk free of sin. Because we see through the truth, not just the surface, not just the physical appearance. Jesus came us not to give rules, but to give life. Okay. See, this is what really, you know, it says, for example, John 1:10, you know, says very clearly, you know, there was in the world, and the world was made through him, and he didn't know him. Okay. But as many as, but, you know, he came unto his own, and his own even rejected him. Why? Because he wasn't reasoning, he wasn't talking about the physical thing that they were talking. He was talking about a completely different dimension. They couldn't understand it because they didn't have the understanding to be able to connect with that, because they were looking at the physical, and the physical was stopping them from being able to understand and appreciate what he was talking about. Anything that he was saying was contrary to what he was saying. And we're talking about the kingdom of God. They wanted the physical kingdom. And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Yeah. I don't want that. That was their reaction. Are you following what I'm saying? See, that's why he came to give us life. He gave us to give us the proper understanding. He gave us to be able to see the truth and to be able to deal with that. Praise the Lord. Okay, but at the same time, you know, the result is just as simple as that. As we take that step, which is really not even a physical step. See, again, you know, it shifted the whole thing. You know, it's not something that we do physically that put us in the place to be able to get that shift, the changement inside ourselves. It's something that happens at the spiritual level inside ourselves that opens ourselves up to the truth and makes the truth effective and give us life. Okay? And as many have received him, you see, receiving him is nothing else than the position of the heart that we, you know, it's a decision that takes place at the heart level concerning him. Okay? So that's what happens. As we receive him, you know, he gave us the right to become children of God, to those who believe in what he stood for, in what he represented, in what he was doing, in what he was showing us. Okay. And it says on, see, that's what happens. We were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. So he's talking about being born supernaturally, born spiritually. This is what has to, that's the basic element, the starting point for us to be in Christ. Okay, it doesn't stop there because, you know, it's just a question of starting to line up ourselves in all the different things. But if you give the Holy Spirit a chance, he would do exactly that. As soon as he start working in you, he has a job to do, and he's going to do it because that's what he is sent to do, to bring us into all truth, not into doctrine, not into theology, not into theory, but in actually life. Okay, the life to us opens our eyes, enables us to be able to see the truth, and the truth set us free in all the different areas in which the Holy Spirit is working on us, and he is patient and allows us some time to take our time. Praise the Lord, because otherwise we'll be in trouble. Amen? Okay. So, bottom line. Okay. This is what Jesus did as he grew, as he became flesh, and as he made the world become fresh. This is what has to happen with us as the Word become flesh. That means, you know, we, instead of lining up the, you know, the law and the stuff with our flesh, we line up ourselves with the Word. And so the Word and the truth take over. Okay? So once we do that, and we, you know, then we are born of God, and God is going to start working on us. As he said, you know, I cannot teach you everything now because you cannot even handle it, but I'll send somebody that is going to work. Going to not let you go. And he's going to keep pushing until you start producing something. Fruits. That's the fruit of the Spirit is what produces the truth. The truth has to, you know, result in the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, suffering, patience, you know, self-control. I mean, controlling yourself from being able to go anywhere that your feelings, and that means your flesh, want to take you. I'm dealing with these things from all different angles, so that we start understanding how to actually apply and how to see the way God works in us and how he produces the changes that he wants to produce in us. It takes time. Okay? But it's worth the trouble to go through it. Amen? So let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for what Jesus did. Thank you that is the truth, the way, and the life. And we have to be just open to him, to receive from him the truth, the understanding, the Holy Spirit who sent us, Lord, for changing us, for making us the people that walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. We thank you, Lord, right now, for the work that we know you have begun in us. And Lord, we ask you that, Lord, you guide us into all truth and that help us to see, to come to you, to resolve all the issues, because you are the problem solver. You are the one that takes care of our needs. You are the one, the Lord, that provides for all our needs. And we thank you in advance for everything you have done and everything you're going to do. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.